Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Before we do get started, I do want to remind you this show is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thank you so much for your support, and I particularly want to thank Kelly so much for her support. We'll send along access to the premium site as we do throughout the year with all donations of $7 or more. In addition, a donation of $20 or more will receive an extra special thank you. Among the available items we do have, at the $50 level, we have BBC Radio 4 Poirot audio plays, most of them starring John Moffat. We will send you any of them that are available on audible.com with your donation of $50 or more. At the $100 level, we'll send you the Nick Carter triple feature. It stars Walter Pidgeon as Nick Carter in three movies that were made in 1939 and 40. For a full list of available items, visit support.greatdetectives.net. You can donate by PayPal there. You can also mail in your donation to P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho, 83715. Please make checks available to Adam Graham and include your email address and a mailing address for physical items if you'd like to receive the thank you gifts along with the items that you would like. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Nick Carter. And this time, there's no lost episodes. The original air date for today's program was October the 19th, 1947. And the title is The Case of the Perfect Alibi.
Time two great names are joined as new post-war Old Dutch Cleanser brings you one of the most resourceful and daring characters in all detective fiction, Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Nick, you just took a $10,000 fee from a client and then accused him of murder.
That's right, Patsy.
But I don't understand. How could he have committed the murder?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
But he was with us when it happened.
Yes, I know. You and I, Patsy, are his alibi. And yet I'm positive he killed William Lasher. And now, the case of the perfect alibi. Today's adventure starring Lon Clark as Nick Carter, brought to you by new post-war Old Dutch Cleanser. It is almost 8 o'clock in the evening, and Nick Carter and his assistant Patsy Bourne are bound for the theater. It's one of those rare evenings when Nick is not working, and Patsy is happy enough to sing.
Oh, Nick, first the theater, then supper and dancing. Oh, we won't get home until morning.
We're taking an evening off to see you so happy.
Oh, I am happy, Nick. They'll just be us tonight. No policemen, no crooks, no anything.
Hey, look at that fool.
Think he's driving like us.
Patsy, brace yourself. Why that?
Oh, that driver must be drunk.
Crazy. He's not injured. I'll tell him a thing or two. Are you in there? You hurt?
No, I'm okay.
Now get out and let's have a look at you.
It was my fault entirely. I'll be glad to pay all the damage.
What's wrong with you? Plenty of light on this street.
You must have seen us coming.
I know. I said it was my fault. Here. Here's my license and my registration. I'll call my attorney in the morning, and he'll get in touch with you.
Here, Paul Sanders?
Yes.
You must have just started out. The radiator of your car isn't even warm.
I was traveling slowly. I was just driving.
With your eyes shut. Well, my name is Nick Carter. You'll need that in your accident report.
No, Nick Carter? Really?
He certainly is, really.
Mr. Carter, I need your help, desperately.
For what?
Mr. Carter, a man is going to be murdered tonight, and I'm the man with the strongest motive in the world for killing him.
You have the strongest motive?
Yes, I have. Mr. Carter, you may be the means of saving my life and the life of William Lasher as well.
William Lasher?
Yes.
Not the man who used to be district attorney.
That's right. He represents certain clients who are after my scalp. Naturally, that makes him my enemy, too.
So what?
I phoned him just a little while ago. I argued and pleaded with him, but it was no use. He can ruin me, and he's going to do it, if he lives.
You don't make sense yet, do
you? While I was talking to him on the phone, he received a letter by messenger. He read it to me and accused me of sending it. It said that Lasher was going to be killed tonight.
Nick, isn't Lasher that DA who was so tough they refused to let his name go up for re-election?
Yes, Patsy, stepped on too many toes.
Oh. I must have a reliable person who will swear that I couldn't have killed Lasher. Will you take the job, Mr. Carter?
You know, Mr. Sanders, I think maybe I will.
I'll pay you any fee you ask, anything.
The fee will be $10,000, Mr. Sanders.
$10,000?
Well, that's pretty steep, but okay, I'll pay it.
All right. First thing to do is to establish the fact that Lasher's alive right this minute. Suppose we use my car, Mr. Sanders. Mine will run. Yours doesn't look as if it would.
Very well.
I don't like this, Nick.
Neither do I. Why do you think I accepted this case? Well, come on, Mr. Sanders. Let's look into this murder you say is going to happen. For your sake, Mr. Sanders, I hope Mr. Lasher is alive.
No, I hope so, too, even though I detest the man.
I think someone's coming, Nick.
Yes?
I'd like to see Mr. Lasher. I'm Nick Carter.
You're Nick Carter, the detective?
Yes, may I see him, please?
Well, gee, I'm sorry, but he left strict orders that he wasn't to be disturbed under any circumstances.
In spite of his orders, I want to see him whether he's all right. We have reason to believe he might be murdered tonight.
Murdered? Well, all right, I'll knock on the study door. He gets awful sore when I disobey him, but, well, I'll try it.
Who's he, Mr. Sanders?
His name is Joey Wilkins. Nice boy. Nice as his guardian.
Oh. Mr. Lasher. Mr. Lasher.
Go away. I told you I don't want to be disturbed.
You see?
Yeah, let me try. Mr. Lasher, this is Nick Carter. I want to talk to you.
I said go away. I'll see no one tonight.
Well, I'm afraid you're going to see me because I want to see you.
Confound you. Get out of here.
Oh, what happened, Nick?
Well, he threw a book at me. Fortunately, his aim was bad.
Then he's still alive.
Yes, Sanders. Luckily for you, he's very much alive. Oh, Joey, do you know Mr. Sanders here?
Why, yes, sir. He comes to see Mr. Lasher sometimes.
When was the last time he came to this house?
Let me see. He hasn't been here in a long time. At least for 2 months.
Yes, at least that.
I see. Well, now 8:32. Remember that, all of you. Lasher is alive now. What's more, Sanders?
Yes, Mr. Gordon?
We're going to take further precautions to see that he stays alive, at least as far as you're concerned. Come on.
Carter, what's the idea of bringing me here to police headquarters?
Because I want to look in on my friend, Sergeant Matheson, before we go back to Lasher's place.
Well, at least the last 2 hours have passed quickly. Seeing your offices and laboratory was quite an experience, Carter.
Well, at least it was one way of killing time while we were establishing your alibi.
And here's the sergeant's officer.
Hi, Matty.
Oh, hi, Nick. Patsy.
Hello.
This is Mr. Sanders. Sergeant Matheson.
Hi, Sanders.
And you.
Any further word from Lasher, Nick?
No, Matty. I called Joey a half hour ago. He reported Lasher was still very much alive.
Good. I sent 4 men up there, as you suggested, just to cover the house and sort of keep a watch over Lasher.
Thanks, Matty.
I also did some checking down here. You know, Nick, Lasher was about the toughest DA we've ever had.
Yeah, so I recall.
One of the boys he put away, and one who hated Lasher like poison, got out of prison yesterday.
Well, that's interesting. Who is he?
Pete Arnold. Lasher got him sent up for 15 years for armed robbery. And the day he was sentenced, Arnold swore he'd get Lasher for sending him up.
I think I remember him. Wasn't he a big, powerful fellow?
Yeah, mean and dangerous, too. You know, Nick, I think we ought to go see Lasher again, whether he likes it or not.
I think you got something there, Matty. Let's go. Come on, Sanders.
All right. Where you go, I go. For tonight, at least.
You got your men well hidden, Matty. Didn't see one anywhere.
They're here, all right, Nick. Don't worry about that.
Hello. Oh, it's you again, Mr. Carter.
Yes, Joey, and this time we're going to talk to Mr. Lasher, orders or no orders.
Well, it's at your own risk, Mr. Carter.
I know, Joey. Mr. Lasher, I'm coming in. I want to...
He's dead.
Oh, no, he can't be.
He's dead, all right.
Dead, is he? Well, everyone stay right where you are. Don't touch a thing.
Yeah, let me see.
There's no blood, Nick.
No. No sign of a struggle either.
Just that terrible expression on his face.
To me, that means just one thing, Patsy. Lasher was poisoned.
Nick, someone was here with him. Look at that bottle of liquor and those two glasses here on the desk.
And the glass beside Lasher's hand is empty.
But the other one's full.
I'll call the medical examiner and the homicide boys. Now, you four go back in the living room. I don't want anything disturbed in here, intentionally or otherwise. Hey, Nick. A little while ago, two of the men I got outside saw someone peering through the window of the study where we found Lasher's body.
Did they catch him?
No, they lost him in the darkness. They said he resembled Pete Arnold in size. So the window's being dusted for prints, and so are the bottle and glasses.
Oh, those glasses are hobnailed, Matty. They're too rough to take an impression.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. Well, I'm going back in the study, Nick. You carry on, huh?
Okay, Matty. Joey, why did Mr. Lasher insist upon being alone tonight?
I don't know. All I know is that every once in a while he'd clear everybody out of the house except me. And my job was to see that nobody disturbed him.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time that happened?
Well, I'm not sure. About a year ago, I guess.
Hey, Nick.
Oh, yes, Matty.
Yep, there were prints on the window. They matched Pete Arnold.
That's so.
And the medical examiner says he thinks it's poison.
Just in the glass that Lasher drank from?
No, in both glasses. The murderer must have slipped the poison into the bottle before it was poured.
Well, one thing is sure. Sanders didn't kill him. He was with us all the time.
Thank you, Miss Bowen, for those kind words.
Well, I'll get back to headquarters in case something breaks down there.
Okay, Matty. You'll phone me just as soon as the poison's identified?
You better will, Nick.
Good.
The minute I find out.
Well, two lucky things happened to me tonight.
That's so.
Lasher's dead, and I'm saved from bankruptcy. Also, I ran into Nick Carter, who furnished me with a perfect alibi. I'm not even suspected of the murder.
Well, you're a lucky man, Mr. Sanders. Now, there was something said about a fee.
The fee? Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I've got the cash right with me. Here, and $500 bills.
Oh, lucky.
Yes, here you are, Mr. Carter. $10,000 for 3 hours' work.
Sanders, how does it happen you're carrying all that money around?
Well, I always carry a lot of cash.
Wouldn't be that you purposely had that much on you so you could wave it under my nose if I didn't want to take the case.
Why, I didn't even know I'd meet you.
No? When you collided with me, the radiator of your car was almost cold. Yet you said you'd been driving around.
Well, I had been.
I doubt that. I believe you were parked at the curb until you saw Patsy and me start away from my house. I believe you were waiting for us.
Are you trying to say that I framed that smash-up?
I am. You deliberately planned to have me furnish you with an alibi.
I suppose next you'll say that I actually murdered Lasher.
Yeah, I think you did.
Nick, how could you?
Carter, that's crazy. How could I have been with you and be at this house at the same time?
I don't know the answers yet, but I'm going to find them. I'm sure you killed him.
I don't have to stand here and listen to slander.
You're not free to leave yet, Sanders, so stick around.
Don't worry. I'll be around if you need me.
Look what's going on here. You just took a $10,000 fee from a client and then accused him of murder.
That's right, Patsy.
Well, I don't understand. He was with us when it happened. You and I are his alibi.
Yes, I know. But in spite of that, I'm positive Sanders killed William Lasher.
As the case moves swiftly to a climax, Nick and Patsy serve as the alibi for the man Nick accuses of murder. In just a moment, we'll learn whether Nick can make this accusation stand. Now, back to the case of the perfect alibi. Today's adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by new post-war Old Dutch cleanser. It is a short time later. The police are gone. Nick and Patsy are upstairs investigating Lash's bedroom.
Well, nothing here that gives us any clue.
Do you really think he murdered Lasher?
I do.
What about Pete Arnold? He swore he'd kill Lasher someday.
Pete Arnold didn't do his job.
But how can you be so sure about that?
Look, Patsy, Lasher knew Arnold was dangerous. Would he have invited him in for a drink?
No, I don't suppose so.
Besides, men like Arnold don't use poison when they kill. Yes?
It's me, Joe.
Oh, come on in. Yes, Joey?
I thought I'd see if there was anything I could do.
Oh, yes, perhaps there is, Joey. Lasher was obviously a hot-tempered man. Was he always that way?
Oh, no, sir. That was just on the surface. Underneath, he was a swell guy.
Oh, that's so.
Why, he built a new wing on the hospital and it cost him $250,000. That's the Blystone wing.
Why do you use that name?
Because he didn't want his own name on it. He didn't even want anybody to know he paid for it.
Well, who was Blystone? Anyone special?
Oh, yes. Mr. Blystone saved Mr. Lasher's life in the First World War, and he was nearly killed doing it.
Oh.
He used to come here every year to talk about the war and old times and stuff. And it was sort of an anniversary.
You know where Blystone is now?
Well, he died 5 years ago.
Oh, must be Maddie calling about the poison, Patsy.
I'll get it.
Okay, thanks. About this life.
I'm coming. Coming. Oh, that dog here weighs like that.
Are you all right, Patsy?
Oh, Nick. Nick, I tripped.
Never mind. Are you all right?
Are you hurt, boy?
No. No, I don't think so. There was something stretched across the stairway. I thought it hit my ankle, and then I lost my balance.
Gee, that's too bad.
Sanders did that.
Huh?
I'm scared. He knew I expected a phone call and wanted me to break my neck, but he tripped you instead.
But what was it that tripped me?
This is an open stairway with a railing on both sides. You could have passed a wire or a cord across the steps, pulled it up as you came down, then pulled the cord free and got away.
Oh, gosh, what a dirty trick.
I'll say. Help me up, Nick.
Okay.
I'm all right.
All right, let me help you to the studio, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down there and rest for a bit.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay?
Much better.
All right, there you are. Take it easy now until you feel okay.
I will. Oh, Nick, that Sergeant Madison probably wondering what on earth's wrong.
Do I answer
it? Oh, no, I'll get it. Nick Carter speaking.
Look, why don't you answer the phone? I was getting all set to come out there and see if you were still alive.
I'm sorry, Matty. Patsy tried to answer your first call, but she fell down the stairs.
She fell? She didn't hurt herself?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Nothing serious.
Oh, good. Well, your hunch was right, Nick. The autopsy shows the liquor was poisoned. That was potassium cyanide in the bottle and both glasses.
So that's why it worked so fast.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you better watch out for Pete Arnold. My boys never did see him leave the place.
Thanks, Mary. I'll do that.
What did the sergeant say, Nick?
Says it was poison, cyanide.
Oh.
Hey, Joey, were there any more glasses to this set Mr. Lasher used?
Not that I know of. I never saw more than two of them.
I see. Hey, this brandy. He imported from France. More than 40 years old.
Golly, it must be priceless.
It is if you go in for that sort of thing.
Hmm.
Now, to whom would Lasher serve 40-year-old brandy? Has to be somebody very special.
Mr. Carter, I remember now.
Yeah, what?
Mr. Blystone, every time he came here, that bottle of brandy would turn up.
Well, now.
And about a year, once about a year since Mr. Blystone died, I'd found the bottle here on the desk again with the two glasses.
Did Lasher drink much?
He never drank, Mr. Carter, except, well, maybe the times I found the bottle left on the desk.
Nick. Yes. Get them here quickly, by the window.
Yes, what is it, Betsy?
The second floor of the garage. What's that window right in the middle?
There. Someone's looking out. Someone with a cigarette in his mouth.
Could that be Pete Arnold?
I don't know. But it won't take me long to find out. You may.
Get out.
Look, you stay right here. Don't move.
But what are you going to do?
I'm going around the other side. He's out of the garage now and around the west corner. I saw the gun flash.
Oh, Nick, please be careful.
I'll be careful. Now, if I can just make it to the. Still shooting over the other way. Now, if I jump in fast.
Not that. Why, you.
Hello. That'll
hold you. Nick? Did you get him?
I did. He'll be with us as soon as he wakes up.
Oh.
Having trouble, Mr. Carter?
Yeah. Mr. Sanders.
Yeah, Sanders, where have you been while all the fireworks were going on?
I was just walking around, thinking.
Okay, suppose you take all of Pete's legs. We'll carry him into the house, then we'll all do some thinking. together. Okay, one handcuff around this wrist, the chain behind the steam pipe, and the second cuff on his other wrist.
Fritz takes care of Pete Arnold for the time being.
Carter, why did you bring Arnold upstairs? Why not just turn him over to the police?
Because there are no police here at the moment, Sanders. Matty took his men away. Figured that whoever had been prowling around had gone by now.
He's waking up, Nick.
Where am I?
All right, cut it, Pete. You're not fooling anyone. I'm Nick Carter. Try to kill Patsy and me.
Oh, what a step I've been. What a step.
Pete? Did you kill Lesher?
No. I was going to, but when I looked in the window, he was sitting there, dead.
Then what happened?
I heard the cops moving around, so I hid in the garage.
Why?
Because I had to. The cops see me here, they'd have framed me for the job.
Nobody's framing you, Pete. But the police are going to ask you a lot of questions.
Well, I guess I'll be here when they come.
Is this all you're going to do, Carter? Sit here in the study and wait? Aren't you going to send for the police?
I'll be glad to, Sanders. You decided to confess?
You're crazy, Carter. Here you have a man who swore he'd murder Lasher, but who even tried to shoot you. Don't you know when you've caught a killer?
Sanders, there's an old photograph hanging on the wall here behind Lasher's desk.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like some of the men from Lasher's old infantry company.
Yes, that's what it is, Mr. Carter.
Oh, I know that picture. You get a copy of it.
You're the third one from the left, aren't you?
Yes.
Who are the others? Can you name them?
Yes, most of them. Brown, Myerson, Kelly, Blystone.
And you knew Blystone?
Of course I did. Oh. My sergeant. But if you're trying to tie him into this, you're wrong. He's been dead for 5 years.
Yeah, so Joey told me. Oh, Patsy.
Huh?
Come into the living room a minute, will you?
Of course, Nick.
You too, Joey.
Sure, Mr. Carter.
Now, listen, both of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to accuse Sanders of murder again, point blank. And I'm going to show him how I can prove it.
Gee, can you do that?
I'm going to try.
I get it. You want to make him so desperate, he'll do something that will give himself away.
That's it.
Oh, but what about Pete Arnold?
I've told you, Patsy, nothing as far as Lasher's murder is concerned.
But if Pete didn't do it, and Sanders was with us, who was with Lasher when he was killed? Somebody had to be.
Patsy, when Lasher died, there was no one with him except possibly a ghost.
But a ghost? Nick, are you trying to tell me this is a supernatural case?
No, simply the work of a murderer who planned every move well in advance.
Oh.
Now, let's get back to the study while I tell Sanders how he murdered Lasher without even being present.
Well, be careful, Nick. Sanders may have a gun.
I shouldn't be surprised. That's where Joey comes in.
Me? Oh, gosh, I'll do anything I can.
Okay, Joey, take one of those heavy bookends off that table. Go out of the house and around to the back. You have 3 minutes to reach the windows looking into the study.
But then what do I do?
Joey, when the time comes for you to act, you'll know it without me telling you.
Oh.
Well, you back again, eh, Carter?
Yes, Sanders. Want to establish some facts.
Oh?
You knew Lasher and his dead friend Blystone from World War I.
Suppose I did.
You knew that Blystone saved Lasher's life, and that Lasher and Blystone made a pledge after the war was over to meet once a year and celebrate the rescue.
Does that make me a murderer?
Now, Lasher never used liquor except once a year, when he and Blystone each drank a small glass of his fine old brandy, and that celebration always took place on the same day, the date of Lasher's rescue, a date you knew because you were there when it happened.
So, two men celebrate an anniversary, and that makes me a murderer.
It does because you knew about it. Joey tells me the bottle and the two glasses were kept in plain sight in the cabinet over the desk. You must have seen them many times. It's been very easy for you to come here to see Lasher, and then, while you were waiting here in the study for him...
Oh, that's it.
Get it, Patsy?
Of course. Sanders poisoned a bottle of brandy when he was here over 2 months ago. He knew it wouldn't be used until tonight, and he planned to set up an alibi for the exact time when Lasher would be killed.
All right, both of you, put your hands up fast.
I told you I had a gun.
Get him up. Thank you.
So you found out about me?
I did. You were too anxious to have Patsy and me be your alibi, and you were too eager to pay too much money for such a small job.
I'm admitting nothing, Carter. But don't move, either of you. I have plans for you.
Sanders backs away, his fingers tightening against the trigger. We'll see what Nick does about this in just a moment. Now for the conclusion of The Case of the Perfect Alibi. Today's adventure with Nick Carter, brought to you by new post-war Old Dutch Cleanser. Sanders slowly levels his gun at Nick and Patsy as he says,
"Here's where you and Miss Bowen get it. I hope you're ready."
Lay down, Patsy!
There was some haymaker you landed on his door.
Well, he won't do any more shooting for a while.
Was it okay, Mr. Carter?
Ah, you are marvelous.
You are wonderful, Joey.
Why,
gee,
thanks,
Miss
Bowen.
Mrs.
Bowen. Boy, is he out cold.
Well, Nick, your plan seems to have worked.
Yep. When Joey smashed the window, Sanders reacted just as I hoped he would.
And that gave you a chance to go for him.
Yeah. Well, now he'll have two prisoners now. Pete Arnold and Sanders.
Gosh, it's hard to believe. Sanders killed Lasher and wasn't even here when it happened.
That's right.
Then Blackstone was the ghost who was with Lasher when he was killed.
Right.
Oh, gosh, that was a clever scheme.
Yes, and safe, too. The brandy was never used for anything else.
He simply set a murder trap and waited for the reunion to set it off.
Right. Which is murder in the first degree, as you'll find out very shortly.
The order of the community chest. Test, Nick, this is the first time in a long time a murderer's money has helped a worthy cause.
A murderer's money?
Welcome back. I enjoyed this episode. At a few points, it even reminded me a bit of an episode of Columbo with the battle of wits between the hero and the villain of the piece. And this whole setup of using Nick Carter as the perfect alibi. I think he did carry things too far with his whole plan of meeting Nick Carter in an auto accident, supposedly. Oh, look who I ran into, just who I needed to see. It probably would have made more sense to try and set things up to meet Nick Carter with the problem. Once again, we have Nick Carter taking a somewhat dangerous risk in putting his life and Patsy's in jeopardy, but betting on the fact that a noise would frighten the murderer from committing another one. And of course, the way Nick Carter's luck goes, turns out to absolutely work. All right, well, now we do turn to some listener comments and feedback. And Bobby comments regarding episode 1500, The Two-Faced Firemaster. I can't help but think if the Firemaster was so careful that he did a test run, then he would have also patted Nick down before he got in the car. True enough, a smart criminal would do that. But Nick Carter's never exactly been famous for realism. But that's still a good can. Sandy says, "Thank you seriously for putting me to sleep nightly." And then we have this comment from Kelly. "We enjoy listening to the Great Detectives podcast. Thank you for your dedication to bringing these entertaining shows to a new generation of listeners. We love your informative comments. We sent a donation so you can keep up the good work." Well, thanks so much, Kelly. And then we have a question from Dave over on the Facebook page under the poster page. He asked, "You're a cop. Would you rather work for Lieutenant Riley or Lieutenant Levinson?" Well, David, there are actually two different Lieutenant Rileys within the province of the Golden Age of Radio. There's Lieutenant Riley of the early episodes of Nick Carter, and there's Lieutenant Riley of Let George Do It. Lieutenant Levinson is, of course, of Richard Diamond. So of those three, the one I would most like to work for is Lieutenant Riley of Let George Do It. Lieutenant Levinson is constantly uptight and tense. If you listen to Richard Diamond, which we're going to get to in a year or so, it would be miserable working for him. Lieutenant Riley of Nick Carter was, of course, a bit of a stereotype in the early going. The same actor who played Lieutenant Riley has most recently been heard playing the role of Waldo, and using the exact same accent. And Lieutenant Riley and Nick Carter was just kind of over his head all the time. I like Lieutenant Riley and Let George Do It the best. He could get flustered, and he could bluster. But at his core, he was a competent cop. And while I wouldn't say his default setting was easygoing, he was certainly more relaxed than Levinson. The question is over at facebook.com/radiodetectives, so if you have a thought of which of those three lieutenants you would like to serve under if you were a police officer, go over to Facebook and be sure and share your thoughts. But that will do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and then join us again next Thursday for another episode of Nick Carter. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.